The two things to mention are, or three things. One is that the Avastin was given at a dose of 10 milligrams per kilogram every 2 weeks. In the breast studies, it's either been given 10 every 2 weeks or 15 every 3 weeks. In that study, it was 10. And the paclitaxel was actually administered at a dose of 90 per meter squared on days 1, 8, and 15. So patients essentially came for treatment 3 out of 4 weeks. On one of those weeks, they received paclitaxel alone. On the other 2 weeks, they received both paclitaxel and Avastin.
And we just had a case presentation session with some community-based oncologists, and a couple cases were presented of people who had had chemotherapy for metastatic disease, but who had never had a taxane. What are your thoughts about using bevacizumab in a second and third line setting, and people who've never had it, and particularly who've never had a taxane?
Yeah. In terms of the second line setting, I'm actually a little bit more flexible about second line than perhaps the eligibility criteria of the study were. And it's because I think that as adjuvant therapy has evolved, that depending on the extent of prior adjuvant therapy, first line and second line may start to look a lot alike. So a woman who never received adjuvant chemotherapy has had one chemotherapy regimen in the metastatic setting is probably more like the patient who received adjuvant chemotherapy and is getting it in the first line setting. So I think the spirit of the eligibility speaks to not a lot of prior chemotherapy. In my mind, that's different from the patient who's had a lot of prior therapy and is further along in her disease, and that patient is more like the patient who was in the capecitabine trial. And for that woman, as tempting as it is to think about giving bevacizumab, I certainly don't think it should be viewed as anything like a standard. I fully understand that when faced with patients who have limited options and new drugs that are available, that doctors, including me at times, are tempted to use therapies with the small hope that they will be beneficial. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. On the other hand, I think people have to recognize that you're really extrapolating beyond the data. And certainly if one were to use Avastin in that setting, you have to be very, very careful to make sure that you're not going to induce toxicity, that you're going to stop it at the time of progression. And it is by no means a standard. It's one of those many things, if you do it, that we do outside of the standards. And I think in that situation, the insurance companies may ultimately tell us what we're doing, because, in fact, I do think that it would be justifiable for a company to say, gee, I'm not anxious to reimburse for Avastin in that situation.